On the morning of August 2nd, 1934, Berlin awoke to the news that a suspiciously and unnecessarily loud, rodent-like man from the newspapers, whose meagre height was only matched by his meagre moustache, had asserted himself as Führer to Germany, contingent on the death of former German president and King of Sideburns recipient Paul von Hindenburg. This was retroactively voted on by the German public, who legally elected this cartoon supervillain by a majority vote of 89%. However, that same morning, in Paris, where history has much lower stakes, an American con man and a German obsessive were being rattled awake by a series of increasingly loud knocks on an increasingly fake door.
No, you can't touch the cookie jar.
Ah!
Another dream. I knew it. Yes? Hello?
Stop knocking.
Who is it?
Mr. Grifson, open up. It's Bernadette and Tabitha Glob.
Of the Swampscott Globs.
Mother!
Open the door, post haste, and at once.
Just a second. Eckhart, wake up. Splash some water on your face and help me fold up this Murphy bed.
Do you have coffee or more fake champagne or something?
Murphy bed, now!
You had a Murphy bed and I slept in this chair all night?
Open this door at once.
Don't want to appear indecent. Tidying up a bit. Augie, it's a Murphy bed. It was built for one person to sleep in and two people to put away. It says so on the box. Coming!
Fine, do you have any soap or like sage to burn or something? I smell like your desperate windowless apartment.
Don't blame my apartment for your desperation and lack of windows.
Oh, I am so not helping you with the Murphy bed now.
I just need... Ah! Ah! I got it! I guess you can put up a Murphy bed with one person. Take that, Dad.
Open this damn door.
Crap. Eckhart, come on. We need to leave. If these people find out that I...
You don't have a lock on your door?
I couldn't afford it.
Mr. Grifson.
More like Griftson.
Sir, if you even deserve that particular honorific, you have a lot of explaining to do.
Mrs. Globs and Devorah, the lovely duck. To what do I owe the pleasure? Do, come in.
I am perfectly happy to have this confrontation in the doorway. Tabitha and I went to the Bistro where the Théâtre de Telleray has been demolished.
Lucky.
When an agreeable Bistro barista, eavesdropping like a classic Frenchman, informed us that some of the visionaries you've promised to introduce us to are no longer in Paris.
Mrs. Glob, I assure you.
Shove your assurance in your lower middle class pipe and puff it, Mr. Grifson. Apparently Howard Thurston hasn't performed magic in Europe since the Depression. Hemingway hasn't stepped foot in France in almost 3 years due to Champions League for Big Game Bingo. And Diaghilev.
Diaghilev's dead. Everyone knows that.
Diaghilev!
He is? No!
Oh, be done with the theatrics. The Bistro barista also told us that when his blind mother was in Paris visiting him last year, she'd been assured that she was eating foie gras with the American great-grandson of Napoleon Bonaparte at the same high-class, appropriately priced, non-Bistro you took us to yesterday. So, Mr. Grifson, if that even is your real name...
Nah.
I have just one question for you. What is the purpose of your ruse?
I confess I didn't know Ernest had made it into the Champions League. I confess that I didn't realize the Depression had hit Howard so hard he'd stopped levitating women on the European stage. And frankly, I'm a little annoyed he didn't let me know. And as for Diaghilev... Of course I knew Sergei Diaghilev had passed. I assumed you meant his brother, Lance. Every bit as talented. He's the toast of the Parisian boho renaissance.
Mr. Grifson, I have been fooled once by you. I will not be fooled again. And everything from the desperate, windowless smell of your apartment...
Told you!
...to the uneven creases in the wall where I can only assume something as proletariat as a Murphy bed resides, leads me to believe that you are 100% full of uncut horse fecal. I'm going to report you to the authorities, where I assume some archaic butter and garlic-filled French measure will be taken against your life.
No! Please, Mrs. Glob, as delicious as that punishment sounds, I didn't mean to... Sweet fuck! I mean, Mrs. Glob, I do know these men. Great men, wonderful men. But I'm a writer. Sometimes I hyperbolize or run ideas together to make them more interesting, or...
See you in jail, Mr. Grifson.
Way to use my insult against him.
Wait! Come back! I can get you a private show with the amazing Vincenzo!
Mr. Grifson, I am not a woman to be twiddled and diddled.
I am.
I can bring him to you right now. Today. Well, not right now, but in a few hours. He'll come right to the hotel. He'll perform a private show for you, on site, free of charge.
And how am I supposed to believe this isn't another trick of yours?
Because I can't lie about knowing someone who is standing right across from you.
What?
This man here is the famous Italian magician, the amazing Vincenzo. He is a man of little words, choosing to focus more on the mystic arts and how to revolutionize his field than on the petty day-to-day of idle chatting.
See.
Vincenzo, sorry, Signor L'Amazing. You certainly are quite a bit younger than I anticipated, having seen your posters since I was but a young yet legal girl, even though I do still have the figure and experimental mind of a woman half my age.
Like me.
But how am I to know you're not lying to me, Mr. Griffson? I've been burned before by the likes of you.
Well, let's hear it straight from the mage's mouth, Vincenzo.
Mamma mia.
Oh, no! Mrs. Glob, do you see how upset he is? He just stormed off to the bathroom like a proud schoolyard outcast that is reading the situation perfectly! If there's one thing Signora the Amazing Vincenzo hates, it's impersonation plots. I hope you haven't offended him.
Well, I didn't mean to offend him.
Mom, I told you magicians have feelings.
I'm sorry, I wanted to be careful after... You must understand, Mr. Griffson, it all just felt like a plot. I am so sorry. Can you tell the Amazing Vincenzo? Signor the Amazing, I am so sorry. I did not mean to offend you. Please, I beseech you. Come to our suite this afternoon, 4 p.m., and all shall be forgiven. Does that suit you? Can you hear me in there?
Oh, yeah. The walls were made thin for that purpose.
Vincenzo, thank you. Please accept this curtsy as alms.
See ya.
Which means, yes, I accept your youthful display of forgiveness and thank you for being the bigger person.
Really?
See.
Well, we really must be getting started on the prep for parlor shows Vincenzo likes to do, B-sides and rarities. So, you're in for a treat.
Of course! Of course. Well, goodbye, Vincenzo. 4 o'clock, sharp, Mr. Griffson. La Quatre Saisons de Saint-Lazare. I'll let the concierge know of your arrival. And if you don't happen to show up, or this has been part of a larger ruse, I will have them call the authorities, and you will be hearing from my lawyers. And they... are American.
I wouldn't dream of it. In fact, I'll give you an IOU if that would make you feel perfect.
The Vanishing Act by Ian Gears and Lauren Grace Thompson. Part 4, The Levitating Woman.
I would throw you through a window if you had one.
An angry German. How original.
Now, what was that about anyway? Who's the amazing Vin... Italian.
I don't know. Up until the scary one lit up when I said it, I thought it was just some random name I'd made up to get them to buy me lunch.
Jesus Christ, now I'm stuck in a plot with two suspect vacationers and an immigrant who killed his girlfriend? I know it's been said many times, many ways, but fuck France.
Hey, I didn't kill my... Wait, I thought you fell asleep.
I closed my eyes because, you know, look around, but I woke up just long enough to hear the part where you went into hiding for killing your girlfriend.
I didn't kill my... It was a and I'm not hiding! I came here to mourn and to become a writer.
Hey, my parents are rich too, I get it. How do you think I work in theater? Mourning's half my job.
That is not what this is at all! Take it back!
All right, man, calm down.
Take it back!
It is too early for this month's confrontation. Do you have some coffee or...
Take it back.
All right. Fine. I take it back. You came here to write and other reasons.
Thank you.
Sure thing. Is this your prose conveniently visible in the typewriter then?
Conveniently visible as it may be, it's none of your...
The glorious and mournful sort. Part one? Ugh.
Well, yes.
That's too many adjectives.
What about the beautiful and damned?
See, that's better.
That's Fitzgerald.
Well, he's good.
It's the same amount of adjectives.
Yeah, but his adjectives work.
You sound like my mother.
Is she single?
She is. Well, we have no time for that. You have to be the amazing Vincenzo.
Absolutely not.
Come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. It'll be so easy, I swear. I'll handle everything. I'll pay for the supplies, whatever you want. If you want a saw in half, I'll get the tools and the box. I'll even lend you the cape.
You have a cape?
I have a sheet. We just pop in, do a quick magic trick, maybe some light hypnosis, and boom, we're out. Then we never have to see each other again.
So many things to pull apart there. One, I don't do stage magic. In fact, one time I did a card trick in grade school and got beat up for amateur witchcraft. Two, I came here to translate these notes and find Lilith. And three, and as I've said before, I think you killed your girlfriend, and that's pretty fucked up.
I didn't! Okay, fine. Look, just put on the cape. Put on a top hat, say absolutely nothing, do as I say, and we'll be in and out in 45 minutes. Then, once we've gotten a good tip, I will help you find Lilith. Or get out of your life completely, whichever is preferred.
I really don't know how else to say no here, so if you'll excuse me.
There's a collector in Montmartre! He collects old letters and scraps from famous artists and theaters. I know for a fact he has a connection with the Théâtre des Tuileries. I'm sure I've even seen letters there from Lafarque.
Lamarck!
Lamarck. That's what I said. If anyone in Paris knows anything about your notes, it will be him. Just please, please, help me.
Do you have a shower, at least?
Yes! Yes, that's what I'm talking about, old sport. Yes, in the bathroom. It's a pull-out curtain. You just reach in the wall and, well, they're like blinds. But here, it's better if I show you.
And so our two intrepid swindlers got cleaned up, showered, and dressed, preparing for the afternoon's malfeasance with the same bare minimum effort that got them into this in the first place, all leading them to Les Quatre Saisons de Saint-Lazare.
Do I have to be Italian?
Honestly, it's safer than being German right now.
If you say so.
You know, I never got to own a leather duster. Now I'm afraid these SS bastards have ruined them forever.
Eh, I'm okay with it.
Really?
I've never been a fan of long coats.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, shall we? Knock, knock.
Oh, you would.
You're early. It is 59 minutes past 3. I expressly told you to be here at 4.
Yes? Well... efficiency.
You'll have to excuse us if the room is a mess. You arrived before we had time to tidy up, and Tabitha owns a hellspawn mud quacker. Vincenzo, you look delightful in your top hat, and is that a fitted sheet?
No.
Huh. Well, do come in, both of you. Tabitha, our magical guest and his errant hustler of a friend have arrived. Put down the shower head and get out here.
Oh my God, Mom, stop narking on my beauty regimen in front of the guests.
And I swear, if you do not shut that mongrel fowl up, I will lower your allowance to 3 figures, and then the real Great Depression can begin. Are we clear?
No! 3 figures wouldn't even cover divorce duck pedicures, and her hatch day is next month!
That's enough! Put it in the guest room now!
Fine! Devora. Bedroom. Now. Devora.
I don't know whether to be scared or impressed.
I'll take scared, you take impressed.
Okay.
Well, now that the duck's in the guest room, so to speak, shall we begin? And you know, I must say, Mr. Vincenzo, that cape certainly does bring out the color of your eyes.
Grazie?
Yes! Well, first things first, Vinny. How about some good old-fashioned hypnotism? Vinny literally wrote the book, you know.
Niet.
Ah, splendid idea. I do so love being under the influence of enchanted sedatives. Mr. Griffson, please move the seats into position.
On it.
Now, Vincenzo, which side is preferable to you?
Okay.
Which seat? I want to make sure I'm wherever is easiest for you.
Mom, it's not a big deal.
I can assure you, either side...
Can it, you two? Well?
Right.
Thank you. I love a man that knows what it wants.
Left is just right from backwards.
Okay. Now, ladies... I'm going to give you eye masks. Feel free to put those on.
Eye masks? But why?
See, why?
Because, my dears...
Don't call us that.
Because, my friends, the amazing Vincenzo uses auditory hypnosis, a new meditative tactic made famous by the Buddhist magicians of Hong Kong. You wanted a special experience, yes?
Mom, you do love Crab Rangoon.
Child, that is the first bit of sense you've spoken since we entered the snail buffet of a city. Masks, please.
First, we must prepare the masks with the enchantment. We just put a little essential oil on each mask and...
Griefson, un momento.
Just one moment, ladies.
What are you pouring on their eye masks? We are seriously not going to drug these two women, are we? That's low even for me.
What? God, no.
Then why do you have the one of those...
Eyedroppers?
Yes, eyedropper, thank you.
It's fine.
I was having trouble remembering the...
Oh, I saw, that's why I...
Good, thanks. I just ask because there needs to be a line somewhere, you know?
Happy to help you find yours.
So if that vial isn't filled with drugs, then what is it?
It's an inert saline solution. Little bit of lavender and salt. At most, they'll be a bit thirsty, but trust me, this works every time.
So they fall asleep every time?
Yes.
That sounds like drugs.
Do you even know how saline works?
Yeah, it's salt. Where do you get it from?
I have a guy.
You have a guy? And what the fuck does that mean?
It means I've done this before, back when I used to run a physical therapy act after the popularity spike in 32.
Vincenzo, the suspense is killing me.
I have a guy. Isn't that what you said to your dead girlfriend?
Fiance! My dead fiance! And yes, just please, trust me on this. Please.
Everything in me is screaming no, but when have I ever listened to myself?
That's what I'm talking about, old sport. Here we are, ladies. Put these on.
Oh, is that lavender?
Mr. Griffson, you know what lavender is supposed to do to people.
You mean relax and lull them into a sense of calm and serenity?
That's not what it does to me. Wink.
Okay, so both of you have your eyes covered.
Both of them.
All right then. Vincenzo, ready to begin your auditory hypnotism?
I'm ready. Knock me out, Vinny.
See.
First, the amazing Vincenzo presents the gongs of Cambodia. First discovered in the furthest vaults of the Angkor Wat in the arms of the statue Bodhika, said to stun the spine into the most nirvanic of paralyses.
Oh, that sounds so foreign and lovely.
It is. Ready, Vincenzo? Hand me that vase and that pencil. Now, just listen to the gong and allow your spine to get stunned into relaxation. Now, Vincenzo will begin the incantation, a prayer of divinity passed down from the monks of the Round Table.
The Round Table? As in King Arthur?
Mum, my spine is too straight for your fact-checking right now.
I'm afraid Tabitha is right.
Oh my God. Thank you.
This is the very same incantation that Merlin spoke to Guinevere to make Lancelot fall in love with her before the Battle of Little Big Field.
Well, that sounds nice.
Trust me, it is. Vincenzo?
Abracadabra.
Please don't finish that.
Alakazam.
Vincenzo! Ha ha ha! What a funny joke that was. But come here so I can give you the special ceremonial top hat of Bibibanka to let the real magic flow through you. Eckhart? Incantations are literal nonsense words, and you choose the only nonsense words in the world everyone knows to be literal nonsense.
But what do you expect? You put me on the spot.
Okay, I'm sorry. Let's not fight.
It's not even like those face masks are gonna work on them anyway. Damn it.
It worked.
Keep your voice down.
Oh yeah, sorry. I just, wow, you know?
I thought you said this had worked before.
No, I didn't, because if I did, it would be a lie. And a Griffson? Never tells a lie.
There are so many different directions I could take this comeback, I feel like I'm paralyzed.
Just come on and help me go through their purses. Grab a small little tip and we'll be on our way.
Absolutely not.
Great. Found her wallet. I'm guessing this is the mom's because of the polka dots. Moms love obvious patterns.
Hey, put that back. What if they wake up? I will not aid in
a- What do you think? 60 francs a piece sounds about fair, yeah? That leaves her with...
Shit, no!
I mean, leaving her 240 even seems a bit generous. Maybe you take a...
Griffson.
What?
Has that thing been here this whole time?
I fear he has. Augie? I feel like he's watching us.
I think he and the girl have some sort of connection.
You mean like a link?
Like a psychic link, yes.
Okay, well, let's just calmly walk away from...
I'm sorry!
Ah! The wallet!
Oh, shit! Wait, come back!
It's not gonna listen to you, man! It's a duck!
I'm sorry, I just...
Why would you apologize to the duck?
I don't know, I just felt like I didn't want it to tell the girl!
Didn't want it to tell the girl? Do you hear yourself?
I don't know, I get a weird feeling about these things. There could be something... dark going on.
Augie, I don't know what you think this is, but I can assure you there's no such thing as psychic animal connections. Dark arts, stitions, super or otherwise, and especially magic. Even I'm not dumb enough to believe that.
You are exactly dumb enough to believe that.
Crap, they're waking up.
God.
Double crap. We need to get that wallet back.
I'll go handle the duck. You deal with the...
What are you, an amateur? You're the amazing Vincenzo. I'm your assistant. I will get the wallet. You have to keep up the act.
But I don't even know what the act is supposed to...
Ah! Welcome back, ladies. And how did we enjoy our first hypnosis?
Oh, Signor Amazing. That was delightfully relaxing.
Oh, Mr. Griffson. That was not my first.
Do you feel refreshed? I almost shudder to ask, what did you make us do in our... hypnosis.
Nothing crazy.
It's so dark. Where am I?
Take the mask off, girl.
Oh, there you are.
Child, I try to love you, but sometimes I wish I was drunk enough to find you necessary.
Yes, we are having fun here. Now, I must go to our green room, so to speak, to get the supplies for my next trick. His next trick. I'll be right back.
Me too.
And where do you think you're going?
To the trick?
Illusion, eh, Vincenzo? All smoke and mirrors, yes? Tabitha!
What?
Make yourself useful and make sure that lower-class drink moocher stays away from the minibar.
But I don't want to. Oh, I get it. Tee-hee. Tee-hee indeed. Mr. Griffson!
Now, Signor L'Amazing, while we wait for your shapeless assistant to return, I think you should pour me a drink.
A gulp.
Meanwhile, in the master bedroom, Griffson was on the hunt for that crafty pickpocket duck that happened to pick the pocket of the pickpocket who was trying to hide the fact that he picked Bernadette Glob's pocket. To pick, you get it.
Come out, you adorable, dexterous, speedy duck bastard.
Mr. Griffson.
Sweet hell, Lo.
Why, thank you. I don't think we can keep ignoring this.
No, absolutely not. What exactly?
Our chemistry. It's electric. Boogie, woogie, woogie.
Huh. Well, I'm sure your mother wouldn't be too happy about...
And yet...
But, you know, now that you mention it...
My mother is a butthole. Who cares what she wants?
Right. And yet...
Mr. Griffson, have you ever wanted to be used?
Almost exclusively. I think... You're a really special person.
I know.
Devorah! No
way I am sharing. Find your own.
Shh, if we're just very quiet.
What's that in his mouth? Polka dots? Is that my mom's wallet?
Give me the wallet, you duck fuck!
Don't yell at my duck, you fuck!
Who punches someone in the throat? Honestly!
12 years of Krav Maga, you like it?
Kind of. God, your late 20s are weird. Wait! I need that duck!
While all of Conrad Webley Griffson's attention shifted from the potentiality of sex to trying to subdue a clever, thieving fowl, the sight he entered in on as he ran into the living room was one he'd truly never expected to see.
Oh, say it again. Say it again, Vincenzo.
Levitatus.
For the living room was now alive with the sounds of a tittering, barely clothed Bernadette Glob levitating in the chair she had been hypnotized in mere moments before.
How are you doing that?
Mr. Griffson.
Mom.
Tabitha.
Augie.
Griffson.
Augie?
Devorah.
Polka dots. Is that my wallet? Vincenzo, put me down.
I can explain, but first, you've got to tell me how you...
Why are there 200 francs missing from my wallet?
Excellent question, Mrs. Glob. Excellent question. Perhaps we should discuss this like learned adults and... come, Signor, did you see the... Run!
Levitated me and he didn't even ask for my number. Typical.
Mom, I know how you feel about snitches, but I think Devorah stole your money.
Meanwhile, several kilometers away, in the midst of a small, organized gathering of leather-clad, armband-wearing, blonde-haired, blue-eyed jocket types, our two protagonists, emerged.
Whew! Easy, Augie. Easy. Deep breaths. You almost ran into me, old sport.
Oh, sorry. I meant to do this.
Oh, God. Twice in the throat. Really?
Sorry, officers. Americans. What are you gonna do?
That really hurt.
What the hell was that about?
I could ask you the same question. What exactly were you doing with Mrs. Glob?
What were you doing with the daughter?
I don't think it's uncouth to say I was getting very close to considering the possibility of beginning to maintain a passable erection for the first time in 6 years.
Brag.
You made a woman levitate, Augie. How? I thought you said you had no talent with cons or stage magic. Now I come to find out you have both.
I don't.
Of course you do. She was floating. Obviously, it was a trick. Unless.
Unless what?
Unless you're actually,
Jesus Christ, out with it.
A witch.
Shh. Keep your voice down. Ha. This guy's crazy. In a completely non-threatening, friendly way.
Oh my God. I can't believe it. I mean, when we heard about the Salem trials back in school, I thought it was just misplaced fear or another lethal trend, but now! Now!
Oh my God, I'm not a witch!
Sorry, I know the masculine word is, warlock, but see, I can't say that one with a straight face.
I'm not a warlock.
Well, I'm not calling you a pagan. I don't want to start that mix up again.
God, no, I'm an atheist.
Oh, cool.
The chair levitation was easy. When the lady wasn't looking, I put one of the curtain rods under the chair and used the side table as a fulcrum. Just a glorified seesaw.
A glorified seesaw? That's... Ugh! Oh! You're a fraud!
No, I'm a set designer. I don't know stage magic, but I do know how to get a lot done with too little time, notice, and resources.
Here I thought you believed magic was real. Then you almost get me to believe.
Oh, I'm sorry! Did I ruin your day?
Keep your voice down, old sport.
No, you keep your voice down! How is it that you know absolutely no one in this beautiful hellhole, yet you've still managed to almost get me killed? Twice! It's been less than 24 hours!
Yeah, well, left is just right from backwards.
This is ridiculous. I'll echo the sentiments of your dick for the last 6 years. I'm fucking done!
Wait, hey, Eckhart, no, come on! You're not really gonna give up now, old sport. What about Lilith, your love pact? What about Lamarck?
Lamarck?
Lamarck! Come on! You came out here for a reason.
Yes, exactly. A reason you've thoroughly distracted me from.
Then let me make it up to you. Hey, I know a guy.
So I've heard.
No, Augie. He's my Lamarck guy. The one I mentioned earlier. The one with connections to the Théâtre des Tuileries. The one who can help you translate those rare and priceless notes you have. He's just down this way.
Why am I supposed to believe you?
Because I don't know. For all intents and purposes, you shouldn't. In fact, it's probably morally inadvisable to listen to me at all on this or anything, but despite it all, I really like you. Eckhart, you stand for something. You have a goal. It's making me realize how much time I'm wasting here. See, it's like you're an asshole.
You're a bigger asshole.
I am.
Bigger than me.
I'm not looking for a competition. Just a friend.
God damn it. Fine. You know a guy.
That's what I'm talking about, old sport.
Who is he?
He owns a shop near the Latin Quarter in Montmartre, near where the theater used to be. We go, we see what he knows. If it's nothing, that's it. I'll leave you alone. You can stay at my place till you find Lilith or translate the notes or whatever order you see fit, and I won't bother you at all. And I'll make coffee.
Every morning?
Every morning.
Okay, fine. Let's go.
That's what I'm talking about, old sport. I have a really good feeling about this.
I'm ecstatic for you.
Upon arriving at the Peacock Jr. Family Antique Salon, Augie Eckhart found himself getting oddly nervous, as for the first time since his obsession with Lamarck took hold all those years ago, he was now about to come face to face with answers.
You know, when you said this guy had connections with the Théâtre des Tuileries, you didn't mention his shop was literally in the same neighborhood.
Why grope around in the dark for answers when you can go straight to the source?
So this is what, some antique haberdashery that trades in artifacts and secret tomes from the theater?
You could say that.
No, sorry. The museum gift shop is closed between the hours of...
Marie! It's Griffson!
Wait.
Oh my God, if you try to sell me the 6th edition of Ulysses again, no luck! I know only the 5th edition is out now.
Not here to do business, Maury. I've got a favor I need to cash in on.
Favor? What favor do I owe you?
Did he say gift shop?
Yes, It's a gift shop. What of it, schnitzel boy?
Hey, let's calm down. Marie Picard and I go way back. In fact, he's one of the finest Jewish gift shop owners in the district!
What are you doing, asshole man? You can't just shout that about.
Well then, Marie, I guess you're just gonna have to let us in now, aren't ya?
Damn American mountain, get inside quick! The patrolmen like to patrol at this hour.
They gotta do it sometime.
And who is this stringy schnitzel man you're bringing with you? Schnitzel man, who are you? Why are you in Paris? What do you want?
Augie, Marie Picard. Marie, Augie Eckhart.
Hello, Maury. I like what you've done with the place. It's so cramped, it feels like home.
A flatterer, eh? Well, I don't know what kind of angle you're playing, if you're one of those new age free fuckers who fucks anything that's free, but I will not be flattered! My place is a wreck, and I keep it that way! A museum gift shop should always match the style of museum it represents. The theater's a mess, the shop is a mess. It's how I separate the truth-tellers from the flatterers. Grifson, I don't like your friend.
That's not fair at all. I was trying to be nice. If you want me to be honest and tell you it looks like a bridge troll lives here, believe me, I will.
Augie!
Bridge troll? Bridge troll? I hear one more slur about my people and you'll never be welcome in my shop again!
Now, Marie!
Oh, that's not fair. That's not a comment on your Jewishness. It's a comment on how this place looks like a cartoon troll lives here, like a nursery rhymer. Not a Jewish thing.
Nothing to do with Jews, eh? We have ways for dealing with liars in Paris.
Let me guess, does it involve shitty mustard and beheadings?
He's not lying at all, Maury. Augie is not one to make such insensitive, slanderous, and frankly lazy stereotypical remarks, especially this close to the Latin Quarter. No, he just had a couple questions for you.
You come here and you ask, you take. You never ask, hey, Maury, how's your day? Hey, Maury, how's the gift shop business going? Wow, Maury, I like the new arrangement. It really optimizes the work and energy flow in the shop. It's all just Maury!
I just came to ask.
No! My shop, my rules!
I just want to ask you what.
No!
But it's just.
No!
Just ask him how his day's been and let's get on with it.
No!
Why not? Literally, what does it cost you?
I don't care about his day. Why should I ask if I don't care?
Just do it! It's common courtesy.
Not in Germany, it's not.
Yeah, well, that explains a lot.
This is fucking ridiculous. Maury, hey, hi, Augie, from before. How you doing today?
Bad. My gout is acting up, and I can feel we're about to have rain.
You feel it? What do you mean you feel it?
Sensitive to weather patterns. It's a Jew thing.
Gotcha. Well, thanks for that. Now, if you don't mind, I have one question for you.
First, I ask. Grifson.
Present.
Not talking to you. Now, Augie. How do you know this Grifson?
Truth be told, he lied to me and dragged me on a wild goose chase so I would get him drunk, then laid.
And did you?
I think I got him about as far along as I could.
Good. True friends. I love a positive male friendship. It's beautiful.
Sure.
Now, your question, please.
Right. Lamarck.
Thought that might help.
Grifson said you knew about Lamarck and the Theatres de Tuileries, which you obviously do, and the Night of the Vanishing Act.
Title drop.
See, I have these notes, and I...
The notes that were currently being pawned by Grifson himself. The notes that even he'd just remembered he'd nicked the night before.
Oh.
And you want to know what it all means. If Lamarck meant to disappear the occupants of the Theatre des Tuileries with his vanishing box, or if it was something else. A tragic accident, lost to the annals of time and space. And what does it mean for you, Schnitzeloggy man? You, with your interest and hunger for the truth. Does it keep you up at night, wondering if it makes you complicit? Does it bother you that your own knowledge is wedded from the truth about the disappearance of thousands of well-paying audience members and non-union crew? Or will this just make you another interesting guy at a party with a sexy, cool passion?
Well, I didn't need you to put so much truth on that, but...
Or... there's something else. A third option. That there was, perhaps, something else involved.
Well, was there?
Okay, I'm gonna go out on a limb. Does anyone else hear the music?
I don't know what it could be. I've turned it over hundreds of times in my head. Was it a malfunction, a technical oversight, an urban legend, or... See, Mr. Picard... I did have the thought that maybe it might be
we?
Some sort of dark magic?
Dark magic? No!
What?
You silly schnitzel man boy, there's no such thing as magic, dark or otherwise. What are you, dim?
Oh, fuck you! What is it, then?
Oh, fuck me, sir? Fuck me, sir?
You can't just make fun of someone for...
He says, fuck you, to me! You hear this? He says, fuck you, to me!
I did hear him say, fuck you, to you.
No, I just... okay, fine. Hey, sorry, I'm sorry. How's your mom?
Dead. How old do you think I am?
I don't know. So, what is it about, then, since you seem to know so much?
Louis.
Armstrong?
Louis XIV.
The king?
No, he's a trumpet player. Very identifiable voice. Like this.
No, not the trumpet player. The king! The French king! Guillotines, revolutions, naughty, naughty dictatorships.
You could have just said that.
What about him?
Louis was going to be in attendance at Lamarck's performance. He was Lamarck's patron des arts, and everyone knew he loved magic. Like a child at a sad birthday party. But he wanted Lamarck to do the same tricks and refused to sponsor a new illusion. So Lamarck didn't unveil the vanishing box until the night of the performance, when he knew Louis would be there as a... how do you say... fuck you to the man!
Seems to know how to say fuck you every other time.
But then the disappearance, that was
According to my great-great-grandfather, an assassination attempt. But Louis supposedly left during the intermission, refusing to sit through a show that was longer than 90 minutes, and missed the mysterious final act. So when the grand disappearance happened, its intended target had no idea.
So there was no greater reason behind it?
Does there need to be? An assassination attempt is pretty huge. Sorry, that's not good enough for you.
But what about the disappearance? What caused it? Do you not know, or...
Disappearance, schmisappearance. Most people in Paris believe that it was an urban legend. It was right around the time of the theater's first major fire, anyway. People nowadays assume it was just a gas leak, a bad fish. Something that got to everyone. Hell, half the people on the street will tell you their great-great-grandparent was in attendance that night and disappeared with the rest of the audience. To which I say this! If your grandparents disappeared, how did you get here? Huh? It usually shuts them up so I can read my paper in peace.
Then what do you believe?
Me? I believe the show was probably a flop, that the people in the theater who saw the show weren't impressed, so they created a better story to tell people. Theater was expensive back then. You couldn't risk the one time of the year you left your house on anything that wasn't guaranteed to be great. So one person tells a story about a disappearance, then that person hears it and tells it about themselves to make them seem interesting, and then that person, and then so on and so on, till we're all Johnny Cool Kids with disappeared parents. Oh, aren't we all so troubled and interesting.
Wow, that's incredibly disappointing.
That's 17th century France. What are you gonna do? Got anything else for me?
No, I guess that's it. But then these notes.
You know, Maury, it is getting pretty dark out, and we should probably be heading out, so... this door? The one we came in, okay?
What time is it? Oh my god, what are you doing? Get out of my shop! Last thing I need is for the patrolman to come in here thinking I'm still open and starting to browse, you know? Oh, they're the worst. They put the postcards and the stuffed toys and the stuffed toys in the sweet section. German bupkis, you know. No offense.
None taken.
Well then, Marie Picard, it has been a pleasure as always.
Of course. Happy this useless knowledge gets appreciated every once in a while.
Say bye, Augie.
Bye, Augie.
Come back and see me again. I like telling you things you don't know. Goodbye, sad man.
Which one of us do you think that was to? So, what do you think? Did I do good?
Can we just go home? I have a lot of things to ponder.
Absolutely, little buddy. Let's get you pondering.
A narratively convenient 5 months pass, bringing us to 1935, where Conrad Webley Griffson sat outside his favorite adult novelty store on the Rue de l'Odéon, while Augie laid curled up in Griffson's apartment with his eyes open in the same depressive glare they had been in since the visit with Picard 5 months ago. And it was as Conrad Webley Griffson sat there, still procrastinating the first chapter of his novel, he noticed a rather devilishly handsome, Pulitzer Prize-winning, blonde-haired, blue-eyed Englishman re-entering our story.
Excuse me, I'm meeting someone at the Rue des Écoles des Arts, and I'm afraid I'm rather shy at directions. Mind giving a tourist a hand?
Al, I'll give you two. The Rue des Écoles des Arts is down at the end of this intersection, then your second right. There's a sign. But when's your meeting? You know, if you're new to the city, I know a charming little bistro right around the...
Yes. Let me stop you there. I feared you'd be a swindler from the mismatched socks and jacket. I'm afraid to inform you, Argyle and Paisley went out with the 20s.
Look, old sport, I was just trying to... I'm no swindler, mind you, I just...
Oh, are you about to sell me something? You have that air.
If you're implying I'm some sort of uninformed peddler...
Oh, God, no, nothing so glamorous.
For your information, old sport, I happen to be extremely well-connected in the French bohemian community. In fact, the only person in Paris I don't know is a tailor who... Well, is a tailor, is a person... that can give me a decent American hem. On my jacket.
That sounded poorly rehearsed, was it? Do you want another go?
No. In fact, I was just leaving anyway. Good day to you, sir.
You know what? Just for the fun of it, I'll bite. You know everyone in Paris.
So the legend says.
So you say, certainly. What can you tell me about Jean-Jacqueline Lamarck?
Of course, I know Jean... We played bridge together just last Sunday. He took my shirt. I'm not a decent card player.
Is that so? Where does he frequent?
Well, sir, I'm not going to just take someone to Jean. How do I know he wants to see you?
I assure you he will.
Fine. How do you know Jean-Jacqueline Lamarck?
Biblically, philosophically, physically, ideologically.
Is that like camp friends?
Not a far reach. However, you've proven to me the precision of your use, as the one I'm looking for, one Jean-Jacqueline Lamarck, isn't in fact in Paris because he is in fact dead.
I'm so sorry for your loss.
Quite. Truth be told, I don't actually need your help. I'm on the search for the Sorbonne, doing a small lecture at the tail end of my reading tour on my way to the States. Not to brag, just to inform, of course.
Of course. A writer, eh? Anything I may have heard of?
Just a little dime store paperback entitled The Pulitzer Prize Recipient for Literature, The Wizard of Versailles.
Huh. Would you look at that? You should be... Wait a minute. No, you got me. No, you got me.
I got you?
Pulitzer Prize for Literature. That's so... Wow. No, I gotta use that.
I'm truly embarrassed to admit I'm in the dark on this.
Everyone knows the Pulitzer Prize for Literature in 1935 went to Josephine Johnson for Now in November. It's the best Dust Bowl family drama that's ever been written so far.
Ah, yes. Well, Miss Johnson is certainly in for a wild ride. See, I won the prize 2 years ago in 33.
Oh. Huh. Well, yeah. That's swell, then.
Yes, it was mighty swell. Thank you.
Then you should really say the Pulitzer Prize recipient for literature in 1933, the Wizard of such and such.
The Wizard of Versailles.
Yeah, that's what I said. You know, I'm also a bit of a wordsmith myself. I've been known to spin a yarn or twain.
You don't say.
That's true. I don't say. I write.
Anything I haven't avoided?
Just a personal coming-of-age tome under the name The Glorious and Mournful Sort.
Enjoy Fitzgerald, do we? Well, I'll be sure to pick up a copy after my sold-out lecture.
Well, that's the thing. You won't find it around here.
What, can't keep them on the shelves? You deserve a treat.
We all do, from time to time. But for me, it's just about the pursuit. The everlasting search for truth and meaning through written word. So, you see, we're both artists.
So long as the written word keeps the pockets full and the buttocks tight, I suppose. Hopefully the American dream can suffice. Now excuse me, I simply must be going to my lecture on the Pulitzer Prize recipient for literature, The Wizard of...
In 1933.
It doesn't matter the year, it matters I got the award!
I mean, I'm sure it does to Josephine Johnson. She won the award this year. Oh, I'm sure she's going to remember this year for a long time.
I'm sure she will, because she's an educated genius farm girl. They only come around once a fortnight. But after this year's over, it doesn't mean she didn't win. She's still a winner. She still has the award.
Right. And You don't think the whole award system wouldn't work better with a kind of baton system? Say you won in 1933.
I did win in 1933.
Yeah, right, I said. So, in 1933, you got the award. And then, the next year, you have to hand the award over to the next one, and so on and so on. That seems more humble. To me, at least.
Yes, and I'm sure in your undergraduate brain that fulfills some sort of pragmatic opium den dogma you claimed you once had, but it doesn't matter because it doesn't exist. I won it, I still have it. Hence the suit, hence the lecture, hence the Sorbonne, hence the inevitable movie deal, dinner parties, and publicly secret Hollywood orgies that I'll be taking part in no less than 48 hours. Now, if you don't mind, good day.
Yeah, I'm never going to remember the name of that book.
And sitting outside the adult novelty store, non-sexually fingering the Lamarck notes that had amazingly stayed unnoticed, he realized he had a choice to make. To find that prickly German of a man, Augie Eckhart, return to him his priceless Lamarck notes, and try to make a real go at finally setting out to be that good person he had always wanted to be. Finish his projects, get a real job, join a community poker league, buy a real watch and settle into his life. Or do what he had done best for the past 6 years.
You know, I never have been to California.
And away we go.
The Vanishing Act is written and directed by Ian Gears and Lauren Grace Thompson. The episode was sound designed by me, Daniel Etty Williams, and original music was composed and recorded by Baldemar. This episode featured Sarah Price as Augie Eckhart, Daniel Milhouse as Conrad Webley Griffson, Corbett Pascoe as Bernadette Glob, Maeve Devitt as Tabitha Glob, Rob Kozlarik as Bacart Jr., Sam Hubbard as Rudyard T. Codswallop, and Lauren Grace Thompson as the narrator. The Vanishing Act was recorded at Red Twist Theater in Chicago. Find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr at VanishingPod or on our website, vanishingpod.com. If you like our show, please consider leaving us a review and sharing us with a friend. Join us next time for Part 5, The Flashback.